Reading again, verses 1 to 12. But our first reading here, Proverbs chapter 2. It's the value of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come understanding or knowledge and understanding. And he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. And then turning to the New Testament, James chapter 1. And as we did this morning, we're going to read just the first 12 verses. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. But blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And so we know that the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord our God is that which endures forever. Amen. Well, as I said this morning, congregation, that the book of James is a very practical epistle for your daily living. And as I said also, we're doing just this short two-part series here in the first part of this book in James. And this morning we considered how to have joy when dealing with trials. Yes, joy in trials. And this afternoon we will consider the second part here, the importance of wisdom. Wisdom so that we can experience joy in trials. We need to look beyond ourselves. Look to the Lord our God, because it's only through His grace, through His wisdom, that indeed we can have joy through our difficulties. Charles Ryrie said this. He said, "The wisdom of God tells us that God will bring about the best possible results by the best possible means for the most possible people for the longest possible time." And that is true. Remember, when we place our lives in the hands of an all-wise God who knows perfectly what we need and when we need it, we know that the best possible results will happen. Because remember, He's the one who's directing us. And so whatever you are experiencing in your life right now, He is wisely, sovereignly ordering your circumstances. As I said, to do something in you, through you, and for you that will not be accomplished any other way. If there was a better way to accomplish His purposes, then you would be experiencing those circumstances in your life right now. But you're experiencing what you are experiencing because this is how God is directing you, very personally and perfectly, so that His purposes ultimately will be worked out in your life. And so those circumstances are exactly where the Lord would have you to be, to lead you, to direct you, not by chance, not by randomness, as I said this morning, but by a wise, sovereign providence, so that you might be one who is living by faith. Remember, not by sight. We do not live by sight, by that which we experience in this material realm. But we look beyond the material to ultimately see a God, remember, who reigns over heaven and earth, who is sovereign over all things, who sits on the throne of heaven, and that everything is under His sovereign power and control, even in your life. And so this afternoon, as I said this morning was a question, now I have a new question for you. As we look at specifically here verses 5 to 8. And that question is, do you ask God for wisdom then? Knowing your struggles, your challenges, your circumstances, are you specifically and directly asking God to give you the wisdom that you need in order to get through those circumstances, all ultimately in the best possible way, that will bring honor and glory to your God and to your Savior? Are you seeking your God for wisdom constantly? And as we go through this passage now, the first point that I have for you is, first, we're to pursue God's wisdom in life. Right? You are to pursue God's wisdom in your life. Look with me at verse 5. Says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So where do you ultimately gain wisdom from? From yourself? From your parents? From someone else in this world? Maybe a professor or teacher that you had? Sure, there are a lot of people who have knowledge and understanding and skill and wisdom and so on. But your ultimate wisdom must come from the Lord your God. Ask Him for it, because your God desires that you be wise in your relationships and your conduct. And when you ask, He says that it will be given to you. Now, let us understand our terms here. What is the difference between wisdom and, say, knowledge? Because there is a big difference. We understand wisdom to be the right use of knowledge, the skill or the ability to do something or say something, very much in line with Bezalel in Exodus 35, one who was filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship to devise curious works and work of gold, silver, brass, and so on. And so the Lord gave him the ability, the skill, to be able to work with metal to produce what was needed at that time. And so the Lord gives us this wisdom, this ability, this skill to deal with our circumstances in the best possible way. Now that's goes along with knowledge, because obviously knowledge is important. We understand knowledge to be an awareness or familiarity with someone or something, to understand a subject or a range of comprehension, right? Acquiring facts and concepts. But it's not just enough to have knowledge. I mean, there are those who can have a knowledge of the scriptures, but unfortunately not know the God of the scriptures. In the past few years, many of us have discovered the fascinating new world of communication. By linking our computers, our tablets, our phones to the internet, we now have at our fingertips vast resources of information, do we not? I mean, we have Siri. Hey, Siri, can you help me with this question or that question? Or Google? But as we zoom into the information age, and yes, pun intended there, I mean, before this pandemic began, I never heard of Zoom or such things as Zoom. But all of a sudden, Zoom is that common word, that common technology that we use to connect with each other. As we zoom into the information age, we're not to lose perspective. Google does not guarantee an increase in wisdom, even with all that information at our fingertips. We can know more stuff, but it certainly does not make us more wise. A century ago, British poet Alfred Lord Tennyson lamented. He said, "Knowledge certainly grows, but wisdom lingers." And the Bible, we know, highlights the importance of wisdom. I mean, we just read that in Proverbs 2. I believe your pastor is actually doing a study through Proverbs right now. So you're gaining all kinds of wisdom from the Word of God, aren't you? But Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." But at the end of the day, ultimately, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And Job said something that was very similar. In Job 28:28, he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil, understanding." To know God, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's knowledge, there's wisdom. And that's exactly what we need, isn't it? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without a reproach, and it will be indeed given to him. Like during times of trials, that is especially when we need the wisdom of God in order that we might endure those trials with joy. And please understand, when we talk about joy, and we were just talking about this after the morning service, this is not some type of happy clappy joy, some superficial joy. We're not expected to have some kind of smile on our face, especially when things are really hard and difficult. Rather, it's an inner peace where we recognize and we are assured of God's presence and power, that God is ultimately in control of our circumstances so that we can endure those trials and not end up in some type of deep, dark despair and think that the world, my world, is falling apart and there's no answer for it. But rather, we recognize that my life is in the hands of this good God, this sovereign God, this powerful God, who's going to enable me to deal with these trials, and yet I can still experience joy in the Lord. My joy is in the Lord. My joy is in Christ. My heart is fixed in Him. And so there's the joy that ultimately I can experience. This peace, this inner satisfaction, I'm established in Christ. And so there's nothing that's too hard or difficult for him to deal with. And so hence, because I'm resting in his hands, there's nothing too hard or difficult that I can not deal with. And so you can come and you can ask God for wisdom, especially in those matters where you need to deal with these things in a very proper, biblical, wise way. And he says, ask. In fact, that is in the present tense, indicating that you're able to come more than once. It's not that we come every now and again, especially when things are extremely difficult. Well, those are the times when I really come and ask God for help and wisdom and direction and so on. But he's saying to you, come often. Come often. In fact, every morning when I start my day, the first thing I pray for is help. Help, Lord. Help me this day to live for you. Help me to serve you. Give what I need today that I might minister to your people, to help those who are in need, to give my best unto the Master. I mean, we need that help constantly, do we not? And the thing is, he does not say, this is what James does not say. He does not say, let him work for that wisdom. Let him merit that wisdom, to earn that wisdom in some way. God does not expect us to jump through some hoops here in order to gain access to his throne of grace, to find that help and grace in time of need. His wisdom is not something that's for sale that we have to purchase, or something that we have to earn. It's a gift. It's something he wants to give. And he merely says, ask, ask, and you shall receive. You can approach your God directly. You do not need to go through any human intermediary. You know Christ. You come to his throne of grace. And Peter tells us that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Everything that you need for life and godliness available to you, given freely to you. And all you need to do is what? Ask, ask. Do you ask? Do you come? Do you seek? Do you pursue the wisdom of God that ultimately is available to you? Your God comes to you with arms open wide. Come, come. Are you coming? Are you pursuing this wisdom for you? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And second here, what does God do? He gives how? Generously. God gives wisdom generously. Your heavenly Father delights to give wisdom to his children. He gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And so James emphasizes the manner in which God now gives generously, without reproach. Generously has the idea here of without reservation. He gives because he delights to give. He gives liberally, freely, substantially, and in a manner that enables you to deal with your current situations, circumstances, those situations that are most so difficult for us to deal with, especially. He is more than sufficient for you, and has the means and ability to direct your life. And he's not stingy. He's not miserly when it comes to dealing with his people, his covenant people. Remember, he has bound himself to you, and you are bound to him. He is your Savior. He is your God. And he wants you to trust him. He wants you to rely upon him fully and completely. And so as he helps you to deal with the issues of life. Remember, there's no little eyedropper approach here where he just has enough, right? Just enough for you, and just enough for you, and just enough for you, and sorry, I just ran out, so there's none for you. I mean, that would be most disappointing, wouldn't it? But we're dealing with an infinite God, the one who fills the heavens and the earth. He is more than enough for us, and he is willing to lavish us in his grace, and he has showed that most powerfully. How? In the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so if any of you lacks wisdom, and we know we lack it, we recognize that within ourselves, then as we come to our God, who has saved us by grace, who sustains us by grace, will continue to grant everything that we need by his grace. As Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, ultimately, our wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. He says, he is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. So Jesus, our wisdom, our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in who? We're boasting in the Lord. We're boasting in the Lord. The Father gave you Jesus. He poured out the fullness of himself even for you. In wisdom, he saved you. Because we recognize that we cannot save ourselves. We're under God's wrath and curse. There is a great gulf fixed between us and our God. We are most unholy, and he is most holy. And so Jesus is your source of life. You have no life without him. Without Jesus, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're bankrupt, more than bankrupt, and you have a sin debt that you could never pay. Jesus, your source of life. And because Jesus is your source of life, God made him also to be your wisdom, to be the one who enables you by skill to use the knowledge that you've been given of the Word of God, to use that Word in order to live an abundant, fruitful Christian life that is filled with joy and blessing, as opposed to living a life without this and without your God, that ultimately leads to disappointment, discouragement, darkness, and depression. God wants you to live abundantly in his Son Jesus. Because we all desire to have peace, contentment, security, and true joy in this world. But without Christ, this world is just going to give us a whole lot of misery and heartache. That's where it ultimately leads. And the knowledge and skill we must possess to reach that place, Christ, is found in Christ, given to you. And so, do you lack wisdom? Where do you find it? In the one who gives generously to all without reproach. Without reproach, he says. He is not going to turn you away. He's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to chastise you. He's not going to say, well, it's you again? What, again? I just gave you what you needed, and here you are back again. Why are you bothering me again? I mean, is your Heavenly Father ever going to say that or do that? Why are you bothering me? Why are you coming to me? The Lord our God never makes his children feel foolish for coming and asking constantly. In fact, he's just commanded that we're to ask constantly. Unfortunately, there are some fathers who are selfish, who do not like to give, or who do not like to give very much. But that's not your Heavenly Father. A very generous and willing God to pour out or to lavish his wisdom upon those who come and ask for it. Do you ask him for his wisdom? Remember, he generously wants to give it. And it will be given. It will be given. That's a promise of the word. It's not it may be given. it might be something that'll help you, but no, it's there, complete and available, so that you might receive what God desires for you. And then third, we're to ask in faith and do not doubt. Ask in faith and do not doubt. He said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. A wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So faith is essential if we're to receive anything from the Lord. And we know this. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Obviously, we seek him diligently. We seek him with all the heart. Remember, if we seek him with all the heart, then he will reveal himself. He will come to us. But we're not to be half-hearted. We're not to have one foot in the world and then one foot in the Christian church. Remember, as you are here on Sunday, the Lord's Day, this is not just a time where, yes, I'm meeting with God's people, I'm meeting with God, and I'm doing what God tells me to do, but then once I leave this place, then I can have my own life, and I can do my own thing, and if I partake in a little bit of sin, that's okay. Are we to compartmentalize our lives? Are you to compartmentalize? Yes, I have my Christian life, and this is when I come to church, I'm with my Christian friends, with the congregation, and I go to Bible study, prayer meeting. I'm involved myself with the church and Christianity. But then I also have my work life, my family life, my social life. We're not to compartmentalize. This is where we have, and we must have, a Christian worldview, and we view everything, every aspect of our life through Christ. Because if we're not doing that, he says that we're living a life where we're involving ourselves with doubt. The one who doubts is like this wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so we're not dealing here with the doubts that can come upon a Christian, where we start to second guess, or we think, well, okay, Lord, is it this way or that way? Is it this decision or that decision? There are times when, as Christians, we can doubt God's goodness and grace to us. But what he's dealing with here is one who is willfully still involving themselves in carnality and worldly pursuits, while at the same time trying to set forth a persona of being a Christian. We're not to be hypocrites. We're not to be hypocritical to say that we're a Christian on one hand and yet living in the world on the other. He says, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. To be tossed to and fro and to drift along is a danger that we all face. This vivid warning is written in the language of the sea, suggesting that the image of a ship whose anchor is not firmly fixed and is dangerously drifting along. If you've ever steered a boat, I don't know if anyone here has a boat, maybe you do, you know that if you do not deliberately keep it on course, what happens? It just drifts along with the current, wherever that current takes you. The stronger the current, the more you have to give constant attention to keep the boat on course, making sure that you have it pointed in the right direction. Since we live in the strong current of this evil world, we all are prone to drift with the culture that unfortunately causes us to drift away from God, his word, his moral law, his truth, his righteousness, everything of him. This process is not dramatic, nor sudden, but subtle, quiet. To be tossed to and fro is obviously something that can happen over a longer period of time, and perhaps even when we don't even realize it. But Paul gives this warning also in Ephesians, where he says that we are not to be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, right? We're to be grounded. We're to have our anchor fixed in Christ and his word, his truth. This word is truth. And I know this is something that your minister has been emphasizing to you. But if we're not firmly fixed, then we're just drifting along with our culture, tossed here, there, everywhere. And the Lord tells us, if we're not coming to him, if we're not coming to him and asking in faith, then ultimately, then we're allowing the world and the carnality and the sin and the evil of this world then to divert our attentions away from Christ and God. If we're doing that, then we're like this wave that's tossed here and there, and that person must not or should not suppose that he's going to receive actually anything from the Lord, because at the end of the day, what is he living for? You're not living for Christ. You're not living for God. So why would God then give you anything, give you wisdom? I mean, if Christ is not central in your heart and your life, and you're basically turning your back on Christ, who is your wisdom, and you've set your heart against God, why would he then give you what you want? Because the wisdom that you're seeking then is not actually of God. It's to use the wisdom of the world, the knowledge of the world, to give in to your own desires, your will, your purpose. We're not to be self-centered. And so he's saying, if you're living a self-centered life, you're a double-minded person and you're unstable in all your ways. The things that you're seeking are, in essence, to enrich yourself. It's not for Christ. It's not for God. It's not for his glory. And God's not going to help you to be self-glorifying. But he will help you to be God-glorifying, Christ-exalting. If we're to receive from the Lord, that's what priests really being set forth here. If we are to receive anything, let him ask how? In faith. And that faith is a gift that he has given to us. We're saved by faith, through grace. It's the gift of God, not of works. He's given you the gift of faith. And there are times when we say, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When I am filled with doubts, when I'm filled with fears, when I think that I'm alone, when I don't believe that you're truly with me and directing me, when heaven's like brass and I'm praying, and it doesn't feel like I'm getting through. I mean, that's why we don't rest in our feelings. That's why we don't rest in our emotions, because these are the things that fail us. Because there are many, many times, and I know this is probably what you've experienced, I've experienced this too. A Monday morning, first thing I get up, the last thing I'm thinking is, well, should I get out of bed today? Because I really don't feel like facing this day. Too many hard things going on in my life right now. And I'm just feeling like I'm dealing with this alone. Our feelings would say, stay in bed. Keep the curtains closed. Don't deal with life. Shut it out. I mean, that's what our feelings will tell us from time to time, do they not? But what does God tell you? What does God tell you? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. Yea, I uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I am with you. Come to me. Come. Didn't Jesus say that? Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. Rest for your souls. And how many times we've cried out and we said, Lord, give me rest. I need your rest. Does he not do that? Does he not give us rest? Lord, help my unbelief. Help me not to rest in my feelings, but help me to rest in the living word of God, that which you've given to me, because you've revealed yourself to me. You've enabled me to come and embrace you by faith. The living Jesus dwelling within me. I'm the temple of the Spirit of God. And he will not only just bless us and bless this life. Remember, what's better is coming. What's better is coming as he has gone to prepare a place for us. May the Lord then enable us to come to him, embrace him by this faith, that as a result of this, we'll be spiritually fruitful. Fruitful in our lives that ultimately brings honor and glory to him. I mean, the reason we have sometimes made a mess of the handling of our trials, and yeah, we can all say, yeah, there's times when I made bad decisions, bad choices, I didn't seek God, and I made a mess of it. They did not seek, they did not ask, they did not know that God's wisdom was there, that God was there. You want to produce spiritual fruit? You want to know God's grace? Experience that grace in your life? What do? Ask, and it will be given. A generous God that wants to give to you. If we try to rest in our own ways, our own wisdom, it's not enough. It's not sufficient. How quickly we fall. How quickly we make mistakes, filled with regret and unhappiness. Because we did not seek the Lord. In the scriptures, it tells us how God came to Solomon and told him that he would give him anything he desired, that he could have riches and power, prestige, anything he desired. And what did he ask for in all of that? I'm sure you're familiar with this. He asked for wisdom. Give me a wise heart. Help me to judge your people. Help me to do what is good and right in your sight, O God. And of course, the Lord was pleased with his request. And as a result of that, he gave him all these other things. But really, the principle is this, right? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall what? Be added unto you. What do you seek first? God and his kingdom. God and his wisdom. To know the fullness of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. Because when you seek that, then you will have wisdom. You'll have what you need for your Christian life and godliness. And the Lord says, then I will give to you everything else that you need. Be content then with what you have. Because God is supplying your need. He is your source of life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, sanctification, redemption, so that we boast in who? We boast in the Lord. And so, as I said, he is wisely and sovereignly ordering your affairs, your circumstances, so that he is doing something in you, through you, and for you that cannot be accomplished any other way. If there's a better way to accomplish it, you'd be experiencing it now. But you're experiencing exactly what God would have you to experience and how you are to live. But set the Lord first and foremost in your life and your heart. Remember, he is the light of the world. I mean, we're darkness naturally, but we come to the light. Our desire is to be led by the light. Remember, Israel in the Old Testament, the Lord didn't leave them in the desert to wander there by themselves. Was he not with them? I mean, he provided for them bread from heaven, manna. Their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. But the Lord was there doing what? Guiding them and directing them. A pillar of light, a pillar of cloud, and they followed the Lord as he guided and directed them. May we also be a people who are open to and sensitive to the leading of the Lord through his word, first and foremost, but as he leads us and directs us in terms of service and of giving ourselves to the blessing of others, to minister to others, to encourage others. And that we would do so to be an encouragement to one another in God's wisdom, so that together, collectively, we can experience the peace and joy of God, right? We're here to support one another as God's people. Well, we do so as a church, we set Christ first and foremost. And so, do you ask God for wisdom Do you ask God for wisdom? Pursue that wisdom in your life, His wisdom in your life. He wants to give it to you, and He gives generously. But we ask in faith, right? Lord, help me to believe. We ask in faith and not doubting, because He will give it. And He'll give it exactly when we need it to meet the situation very specifically. And so that through us, He is honored and glorified at all times. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the instruction of James. We pray, Lord, that we would store up this word in our hearts, to store up sound wisdom. And Father, that You would be the one to guide and direct us. Lord, even as You directed Your people in the past, that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud, Lord, we praise You that You've given us Your word, a pillar for us to direct us in the way of everlasting, to walk in Your truth and Your righteousness, to know what it is that You require of us. And that, Father, that to ultimately to do the works of God is to believe on Him whom He sent, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so give us faith, Lord. We need it. Grant us abundantly of Your faith so that we would know the wisdom of God. It directs us to Christ, our life. And, Father, through the challenges that we face, and yes, there are many challenges that we face in this world, but we're thankful that it's Christ who's going to bring us through them all. As we have and are here to be pilgrims and tent dwellers. But Father, we know that our house is in heaven in glory. And so give us this hope, this everlasting hope every day, so that we will not rest in our feelings and our emotions, but will rest in the words of the living God that has been given to us. You did not leave us in darkness, but You gave us the light which is Jesus Christ. So encourage and bless each one here. Continue to guide and direct each one that we might experience and know Your wisdom constantly as our God is with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.